On today's Restomp podcast, the very first Restomp podcast of 2024, we've got absolutely no idea what we're going to talk about. We could do one of those boring, you know, 10 most favorite Dockers of all time type episodes. I'm not sure that's really us anymore.
No.
A little bit of preseason scratchy stuff to talk about. The Chief's got a bit of a bee in his bonnet about one Sam Switkowski, so I think he wants to have a bit of a chat about that. All that, a little bit more, we'll see where it takes us. Right after we start wearing purple with Gogo Bordello.
Start wearing purple, wearing purple. Start wearing purple for me now. All your sanity and wits, they will all vanish, I promise. It's just a matter of time, so yeah.
Welcome to the Restomp Podcast. My name is Brett Jojo McDonald. Welcome to 2024 Restomp. My good friend, a man who, I don't know, he's been invested in the Big Bash. So we haven't really had much time to talk footy, but that's all about to change. That is Greg the Chief Dwyer.
Yes. Hello, Jojo.
Mate, it's good to be back. I feel like now that final's just finished, cricket season's kind of clicked over. This next test against the Windies doesn't feel like anything.
No,
we've almost entered footy season, haven't we?
Yeah, all the cricketers are doctoring their COVID results so they don't have to play.
It was Moses tonight that had COVID, didn't he?
He had COVID tonight. I think a bunch of them have got it tomorrow. So they go, I don't play this test match. We've got COVID. So
who's old mate who hit the 150? He's up to the Gabba to be 12th man, I think, tomorrow.
Really?
Yeah.
Josh Brown.
Well, 12th man isn't what it used to be anymore, is it?
No, but, true.
He's unreal, that guy.
Like, yeah, I didn't see that tonight. I didn't see him doing that again.
Did you think it was like one of the incredible innings in Big Bash the other night when he scored the 150 or whatever he knocked up?
Yeah.
But backing it up 2 days later.
And getting another 50 off 30-odd, whatever it was.
Did you see the dismissal as well?
Yeah.
It was a bit rough, wasn't it? I know he flicked the pad, but he hit it.
I know. Yeah.
It's something, I understand the rules of cricket and I understand it's out, but something about it just kind of didn't sit right.
No, maybe if he had his pads tighter, it wouldn't have hit it.
Maybe. But the umpire obviously didn't see the ball deviate from hitting the pad or hear it or whatever. It was just a slight little nick on him.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, that's right. Do you know what, though? I thought he was, before tonight, I thought Josh Brown was a little West Coast Eagle-ish. He's a little sort of, you know, flat tracker. I thought he went good on a you know, when the ball's coming on well. But on that pitch tonight, I thought, no, that was excellent. So he proved his worth, didn't he?
Yeah, definitely. It's funny, though. You know they mark up players in the Big Bash?
Yeah.
I don't think you'd be in a rush to mark him up. Did you hear him post-game the other night?
No. What did he say?
He didn't have much to offer. And the kind of questions they were asking him, like, he doesn't look like the fittest guy going around in the Big Bash.
He was blowing.
He was, wasn't he?
He was blowing up. Yeah,
I forget who the journo was that asked him, but said something along the lines of, oh, this must be a culmination of, you know, years of hard work.
Yeah.
It's like, you think years of hard work, I always think like Shane Woden measuring his steak when he goes into the restaurant each night and... It just doesn't look like he's put in that kind of hard work on the dietary front.
Absolutely hasn't. He was. I can't believe it. I can't believe that he was blowing up the other night because all he did was hit sixes.
Yeah, he's saving the legs.
He didn't have to run through.
It's a bit of an Insmarmel Hark type innings.
Yeah, that's right. But you couldn't expect the scorches, Jojo. You lose Cam Bancroft. You lose Mitch Marsh. You lose Ashton Turner. Take those three out of any list, you're going to struggle. So I reckon they did pretty well to get sort of where they did. But, you know, if Inglis and Hardy didn't get the runs or Laurie Evans, no one did. So.
Well, Laurie, yeah. I reckon Hardy, I was a bit worried about losing Turner. And I think we still felt he's lost in terms of what he brought to the field as a player. But I thought Hardy captained really well.
Did very well. So I don't believe we should have got as far as we did. So.
As you go through the tournament, you kind of want to add strength, not lose strength. And every week, it just seemed we lose like someone else. And, you know, Richardson going out injured.
Yeah, yep.
Every game, it was, oh, this guy's not playing for the rest of the year. This guy's not playing for the rest of the year. The writing was on the wall early.
It was, wasn't it?
It's pretty hard to complain. Like, we put up a good fight every year. We made the finals.
Yeah, exactly right. Sustained success, Jojo.
Sustained success. It is sustained success, isn't it?
Yeah.
Exactly. The guy over the road just moved in. Shouldn't really. So good mates with Nathan Coulter-Nile, who was one of the victims of sustained success, you know?
Oh, he was. Yeah.
He got shipped off because, you know, probably didn't want to pay him the money that he deserved, but was in favour of keeping the core squad together. It's the kind of decisions you'd think
our
beloved Fremantle Dockers are going to have to make in the coming years.
Mm.
Or it's have kind made of, already.
Yeah, that's right. So you do got to make those kinds of moves if that's what your plan to get that sustained success, if that's your strategy, then that's what you got to do.
It's funny you should mention sustained success already, because I don't have many notes for this pod, but someone who contributes a lot in terms of providing emails and feedback to what we get into in the podcast, and this goes back to last year. Very loyal listener Adam Hollingsworth wrote a very long email. He did mention it. If he had more time, he would have extrapolated a little bit. This email did go for about 4.5 pages, so I'm not sure how much longer. I don't know if I would have the time to read it. But
it actually took 3 days to come through when you sent it to me.
Yeah. Well, he was having a crack at me for kind of praising the Bell and Garlic administration while it existed for their kind of perceived want of some sustained success.
Yeah.
He reckons we've had it before.
Well, I don't know when. I went back and had a look, and in case I missed a premiership or two that we won. But
that's not fair. Success isn't premierships.
No, it's not. Like, that's not it
necessarily.
Is no, it? But it's.
That's not. That doesn't mean to sound like losing. Obviously, success is a premiership. But I mean, in terms of planning and implementing a strategy, you're not going to win a premiership every time.
No, that's right. That's right. But you've got to be pretty much around the mark for more than 4 years, JoJo.
That's kind of our most successful little patch, isn't it?
Yeah. 12 to 15.
15. Well, 15, we finished top of the ladder, 17 wins. 16, where we, I don't know what happened.
Yep.
The 17th with 4 wins or 16th with 4 wins or whatever it was. Yep. 3 wins. Sustained success, in my mind, for Fremantle, or as a football club where you have 38, 40 players on the list, however many you're going to have, is not falling off that cliff.
That's right. That's right. So, I think that's what we're doing now. This is the list we're building now to give us that we don't fall off a cliff. So, and it sets you up for, like, take Geelong or Sydney, for example. That's sustained success, where they finish in the finals, you know, 10, 12 years in a row, or 10 or 12 years out of 15 years or something like that. To me, that's – and you win a flag along the way, one or two, whatever you can do. That's – 4 years is not sustained success.
Absolutely. I think, he mentioned his email about – I think I've banged on a little bit about having legacy-type players from a period of hitting the draft at the top end. Hmm. And we as a club not actually ever taking the pain and doing it. And I take his points in his email. You know, he says we cleaned out 34 list spots in 3 years and drafted a whole bunch of guys. He mentioned Luke Ryan, Shooter, Darcy and Griffin Logue. Sure, there's others. But we didn't, you know, even out of those 4 or 5 guys I mentioned, like Griffin Logue's the only guy in the top 10. Under the current regime, we've hit the top end of the draft repeatedly, 3, 4, 5 years in a row, to give us that core group and traded in guys that have been drafted during that period at that high end. So, I think what we've done at the moment, I don't know. I think if you don't see the difference in the strategy that they've used to compile this list that we're going to go into 2024 with as different to something we've done previously as the Fremantle Dockers, then you're trying pretty hard to not acknowledge it.
I agree. I tend to agree. Love what you do, Hollers. Love your work. You put more into this podcast than we do. But on this on this occasion, I think you might have missed a few. Oh, and by the way, we've got 2 years to run on the strategic plan, not 12 months.
It'd be interesting to see, I think, as well, you know, because in this same conversation is the letting go of Blake Akers, allowing the trade to go through for a guy like Shooter. it's hard to make a judgment. You can only give your opinion and what you think in the present moment. But it would be interesting to see how that's judged in history in like 2-3 years time.
That's right.
Like how are those deals seen with what we've got and how we perform in the next couple of years?
Yep. Yeah, it's a good point. Yeah, one year for Blake Acres is not, you know, anywhere near a big enough sample size. And the rhetoric that's been around Schultz, well, he hasn't even played yet.
No.
So,
and I think as well, from stories that I've heard, without going into any specific detail because it's not appropriate, there's a lot more to Lachie Schultz's trade than wanting to go back home to Melbourne or specifically choosing Collingwood or any of that. I think there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes that, you know, we're not privy to.
No.
And yeah, that one I think the club should get, at least in the short term, like a bit of a leave pass on, because it seems like they just did the right thing almost.
I agree. And if the story that we won't repeat that we heard is correct, then I'd bet $1,000 on it that it is. The club should get a bit of a leave pass.
On with once again, though, the story coming into pre-season this year, much like last year, we've had areas of deficiency. Probably what, for you go back like 24, 36 months, the wide areas of the ground in terms of the wings, we've lacked any kind of presence or a player that you just pencil in to say that's our guy and he's starting there. Yep. And then maybe our forward line, we've lacked a little bit of depth and quality.
Yep.
I feel like coming into 2024 with both those areas, like possibly more in the forward line, I feel more comfortable, but even in the wings, we've kind of addressed it in a way.
Yeah. I mean, again, it's, you know, a bit unknown with Jeremy Sharp. Until he does it, we're still not 100% sure. Until he does it here. But I like we've made attempts to fill those deficiencies, haven't we?
It feels like we had the Ethan Hughes plan coming into 2023. Which, to be honest, I kind of jumped on board of because I do like Ethan Hughes as a character around the club and opportunity for him to expand his role and come up the ground. Didn't work. I think it was fairly obvious early on, as much as we all wanted it to work and took the positives. Yep. It wasn't something that was going to be a long-term solution.
No.
It does seem as though Jeremy Sharp's got the inside running on at least one of those wing spots from what you see
in the
preseason. And then you're looking at guys, you know, the other wing looks like the one that's going to be filled in by committee almost, whether it's Chapman, Johnson, Erasmus.
Disco.
Yeah, sorry, Disco. Yeah, I forgot about him. I mean,
yeah.
Those guys are all – they're almost the Liam Henrys of 2024, aren't they? Like, stick your hand up and make it yours.
Someone's got to grab it. Yeah, whoever grabs it. The wing's there if you want it. So
James Ash gave a pretty good interview the other day, I can't remember when it was, but speaking about the fact that they had he had conversations with coaches about him moving back. So it seems like his position now will be in the defensive half, and he kind of framed it as though he was making space for a Chapman, for one of these guys to come up and steal some midfield minutes from what he would have had in previous seasons.
Well, he's been all preseason so far, he's been down back. So it sounds like it does appear that that's the move, isn't it? So, which is a good thing because I like him down. I mean, he'll go anywhere, as he said, wherever he's needed.
He's a valuable guy just to have on the field or have in the game day squad, isn't he?
Oh, he's a ripper. Like, we just know he can go into the middle, he can go forward, can go anywhere. He really can play any forward, back, wing, middle. He's hugely valuable. So,
I think you asked me to send you through my way too early. Starting 23, I think I had him as a sub for that very reason, like to have him involved, have him there. But also, apart from going forward, he does offer something in every other area of the ground.
Yeah, that's right. And I did ask you to send that through because I was having a look at. Is it strange to you? There's a fair bit of pessimism out there about our upcoming year.
Yeah, it does. But I think, on the other hand, it's quite understandable. Like, we would have had some optimism coming into last year. And upon reflection, maybe that was kind of a bit over the top because of the step backwards we took, losing players with experience and, you know, the forward line issues that we had. Tab's not playing much, so leaving Amos there up there to fend for himself with Josh Tracy, both two young guys who, you know, have probably got a couple of years ahead of them until they fully understand who they are as players and understand, or we kind of see their full potential.
Yep.
But I think you're right. I think there is a bit of pessimism. It's like guarded optimism, though, isn't it? Yeah, rather than pessimism. I think people are just scared to have expectations.
Yeah, probably. That's probably a good term. But, I mean, we did suggest that we would be a bit soft last year in results.
Yeah, I think I was I think I was wrong, and I think I was a little bit more bullish on our chances.
Okay.
I don't know. I see you look through the guys that would be in our best 23, and there's just so much upside.
It's
a game of patience, and you know, when does the penny drop for this guy, this guy, this guy, or this guy? And in terms for us to improve this year, like, we only need a couple of guys to improve 5 or 10%. We're a different team.
Yep, that's exactly right.
And I think there's plenty of room for optimism.
Well, this is the thing, right? I went back and had a look because I'm thinking a lot of people are saying we've missed our chance again and all this, which is ridiculous because I went back to 2008. That was as far as I could go back, that was easy enough to do. And I looked at purely premiership teams that were the team on the park on the day that won the premiership, okay? Only two teams in the past, since back to 2008, have won the premiership with less than 100 games experience on average on the field that day. And that was the Bulldogs in 2016, who were ridiculous, did it with 81 games average, and Melbourne did it in 2021 with 98. Everybody else, the average, total average back to 2008 is 128 games. Now, that's when I said to you about, like, give me your best 22. So if we put our oldest 23, they average 100 games. We're still 27 games, 28 games off the average. Our best, your best was 88 games. My best 23 was 85 games. So now I'm not talking, you know, that we're going to, we can't win the premiership this year. I don't believe it. But that alone shows you that the window is only just beginning to open. People are thinking we've missed our chance. We're just entering it now. So I think we're, you know, next year we're, you know, we get an average of 20 games under their belts this year. So you're up over 100. You're 105, 108. Which is, next year is the year we'll, providing we're good enough, we'll give it a, we're right in that sweet spot. So that's why we should be bullish now, because we're in the right age group. We're in the right, you know, games experience. And this is what we're talking about, this sustained success. Because if you look at, like, Hawthorn pinched one with 106 games, an average of 106 games back in 2008. Then we all know what they did. Virtually made the finals every year, won the three-peat. So we're in the right spot. This is why I think we're in for a really good year. I think when I say a really good year, I mean a year to make the finals. And I'm really, really, really comfortable with where we are. I don't think for a second we've missed our chance. I think we're building to it, and the window is just opening. Good stats, Jota. Interesting when you go back and have a look at it and what it reveals.
Yeah, I'm not. You're more of a stats guy than I am. I'm more of a, like, I think this or I think that guy. But
numbers don't lie.
Well, sometimes they do, don't they?
No, they don't lie. You might not be good enough, but numbers don't lie.
Yeah. Well, I think that, you know, you look through our team, our most important players probably haven't reached their peak or their prime.
The
beginning of their prime yet. And, you know, you look through the lines of the field and, you know, Hayden Young obviously still developing, found his feet in the midfield towards the end of last year. I still like him off halfback, but, you know, he's not the player that he's going to end up being just yet. He's still got growth. Caleb Sarong, obviously, you know, you look at Brownlow betting at the moment. Sarong is, I think he's $26 and Brayshaw is 34. I don't want to look at it this way, but everyone thinks Brayshaw's kind of dropped and Sarong's jumped up and gone past him. And I'm not disagreeing, but if that's the case, Like, those two guys, if we keep a hold of them, Brayshaw won the player's MVP the year before. Like, sure, he might not have had the impact last year, but you don't lose that ability. He just maybe had a bit of an off period. We got Brayshaw and Sarong, probably still haven't reached their peak or their prime yet.
Yep.
Amos, definitely nowhere near it.
Yep.
Like, we've got...
Jackson.
And Luke Jackson, sorry.
Yep.
So, you know, that's five or six guys. That forms the core of your team, and they're all improving. They've all got growth.
And that's where a large part of our improvement or you know, a substantial part of our improvement will come from this year. Is Andy Brayshaw. He'll have a 2022 type year this year, I reckon. Because he'll be dirty on last year. Even though he still did really well and whatever, but he didn't have that incredible impact at vital times and things like that last year that he did in 2022.
He seems like the kind of guy, like his individual numbers, if you stacked them up, I think they're pretty comparable to the year before. But I think he as a player and a person would understand that team success and the way we played and his contribution to it wasn't the same.
That's exactly right. Yeah. His numbers weren't too different on paper, but his impact and his in 2022 was far beyond what it was in 2023. So, you remember back and when we're under the pubs, he'd do one of those massive chase downs and tackle and or just something, but he just did it too often for it to be a flash in the pan thing, and that he didn't do last year. So
yeah.
It's that level of impact that we'll see this year, which will be part of the reason that we'll improve.
But also that season, you know, we looked to Brayshaw every week to lead the line through that midfield.
Yeah.
So it's not like he's gotten old and it's just the game's passed him by. But then last year, it was Sarong. Like every week, we were looking for Sarong and what he's going to do.
Hmm.
So this year,
you got like both
hopefully,
of them.
You look to both of them.
Yeah.
And if we're in a situation where our top five or six players haven't reached their peak,
yep.
You know, we've had a measure of success in terms of what we did a couple of years earlier.
Hmm.
I think there's really good cause for having a bit of optimism about this season because these are our best players. And if your best players are the ones that are going to be improving, that's the spot you want to be in. Like, we're in a sweet spot now, and it might not feel like it to some people because of what happened last season.
Yep.
But the scope for improvement is standing around. We win a few extra home games. We had a really poor home record last year.
Yep.
I don't know. The $4.50 for us to make the eight seems
I was just about to say,
a bit long for me.
You're going on about the Brownlow medal betting. If $4.50, if that gets up, Jodo, I might not be doing the pod next year. I might be taking 12 months off and going on around the world holidays. I'm taking that much of it. It's not funny. So I'm staggered that they're offering $4.50 for us to make the eight. I really am. But look, you know, a lot of times bookmakers get it right, we get it wrong, but I'm still happy to take plenty of it. I reckon it's a great price.
I reckon our back line's pretty boring to talk about because majority of the guys there and they will go through there have been doing it probably for a good 36 months. Yep. You know, we've added in Wagner, where we'll add in Aish. Chapman will come back from injury and probably spend some time there, but I think in terms of our team structure, that's the one area of the team that's been relatively stable over the journey.
Yeah, set and forget.
Talk about the midfield and the forward line. Midfield first. We spoke quickly before we started recording and you said the word, you know, we've got good midfield depth. I think we've got depth in numbers, but at the moment we've got yet to be proven depth in quality.
That's right.
You know, the way Fife's been going pre-season, it makes it sound as though he's going to be a pretty strong contributor, health permitting.
He's back, is he? Yeah.
I'm still not sold on that. You won't sell me on that until we see it for any number of games in a row. But, I mean, independent of him, Sarong, Brayshaw, and then Matty Johnson, he looked a player last year.
Yep.
You know, I remember going to that dinner that Matt took me to with Sean Darcy talking and just said that, you know, he just went too crazy in the gym. He put on too much weight too quick, kind of held him up a little bit. He would have sorted that out over the preseason. I think, and we've seen Joel Corey come out, it might have been today or yesterday, come out with some quotes about he's the one that's going to take the leap. He's always looked it.
Yeah.
He's, and it's strange, that guy that slips in the draft, on draft day, how the hell did this guy slip? How the hell? But I feel like rarely they materialize in being an actual star player. But he does feel like he's going to be a star player.
He does. He's shown those signs. I mean, we've written articles about it and talked about it for a couple of years ago. But he's just showed glimpses when they first play. And he has. He showed glimpses, and then he builds on that. And his body shape, his size, by the time he's finished growing and when he puts on, he's going to be Firefly in terms of bulk, And
also his temperament as well. He seems to have a good level of aggression, which at his size and running through that midfield area.
Good decision apart maker. From,
we've got Hayden Young that's doing it as well now, but he looks relatively calm and passive. Yes. Johnson seems to have a bit of a bee in his bonnet. I think. Like, he seems to be able to, get a little bit angry.
He does.
And put that on his opponent as well. And we've seen him give away 50s and, be a little undisciplined, which he can handle. I can handle that.
I can cop that.
He can learn to kind of bridle that aggression a little bit. But he gives us something different. So, you think about Sarong, Brayshaw, Johnson, Young, O'Meara, Fife. Mm-hmm. And then for me, the guy that's kind of... not left out in the cold, but kind of left looking for a role at the moment is Neil Erasmus.
Mm.
What does he do? You want him in the team, don't you? I've got him in my 23, but then you start kind of searching for a couple of minutes here and there in the center square, maybe a center bounce attendance here and there. Maybe he's got to spend some time on a wing. And I think in the end, he's going to have to develop a bit of forward craft at AFL level to get some minutes on the field because... it's kind of, he seems to me to be the one that's getting squeezed out a little bit at the moment.
Yeah, and it's probably, it's the worry, isn't it? There is
not really. It's a good worry to have. But for him personally, it is because I'm sure it's not his preferred position. But it's hard to see, there's only so many minutes in each game and only so much game time to play in each spot, right?
Yeah. But the thing is, Roddy, if he doesn't get a good, opportunity this year, it just enters your mind. Is he, he's out of, what's he signed up to? 2025, I think. So we've got to get him in somewhere. I don't know how, and I don't know exactly where, but we've got to get him into the system on a more regular basis somehow.
He's the one that seems to have a bit of a muddled role. And that, if he is going to get up to 60, 70% game time, it's going to come over a collection of different positions at this point, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe, he came on, was it last year, the year before, and played forward and did a reasonable job. So, and then there is that sort of thing where players, you draft them as midfielders, but they do got to, earn their stripes through other areas to make their way into the midfield. So, he's got to grab his opportunity wherever and whenever it comes. And it will come.
Yeah.
We'll get injuries, we'll get... So, he'll get a chance.
He's just the one on watch for me. And then, so if we move out of the midfield, you wanted to talk about Sam Switkowski. I can feel it. That my ears and mind are burning. Go for it.
No, well, I just think, this has to be, this has got to be Switty's year. And I think it really has to be because when you're looking, right, he's been on the list for 6 years now. Okay, he turned 27 back in November. He's only been able to put together 68 games. And look, we know injuries destroyed him and he's been struggling to get on the park. 2024 has got to be his year, Jojo. And he's in that sort of rule of thumb, career best age-wise. He's one of the more senior guys in the leadership group. He has to dig deep and he's got to pick up the slack from where, left from Schultze. Because we can't rely on Tommy Emmett as much as we'd like to. We can't rely on... And the problem I've got with Switter is he predominantly plays forward. Okay, pinch hits in the middle, but he predominantly plays forward. Now, in his 68 game, he's only going at a tick over half a goal a game. He's never kicked more than 2 goals in a game, only kicked multiple goals in 7 of his 68 games. Now, that may be a product of his role. It might be there that he's there to aid the forwards. But then if you look at it and you go, okay, well, his goal statistics. He's only going at the same rate, a ticking over a half a goal assist per game. So I like what Sweater does, and but he does it on...
To be honest, it doesn't sound like it.
No, I know you were going to say that, but I like what he does. But he does. I don't. But he does it on occasions. I don't know whether he does it enough, Jojo. And I'm not going to. I'm not. I know you're going to say, "Yeah, I am hanging you." I'm not, because I'm a big advocate for consistency and continuity. And up until 2023, he hadn't had that. But he put the whole of 2023 together. Okay, so he played the full book except the Rory Lobb game. So this has to be his year. And I'm, do you know what? On what he's done to date, if he was anybody else, he'd be copping a ton of criticism. I reckon he'd be under fire. I mean, you look at Matt Tavernier. He's had similar issues, been unable to stay on the park. He's played 120 games over 11 seasons, gone at 1.5 goals a game. Now, I understand the different roles, but he gets hauled over the coals. Where Sweater gets a free pass.
But not on this podcast.
No, well, no, not on this podcast, but we're not representative of the...
Hey, you got to remember, I'm the president of Matt Tavernier Island. I still think he's going to start the first round one.
I'm kind of coming around to that thought, you know, but we'll get to that.
No,
but
you're not welcome. You're not welcome.
No, there's room. There's room. No, there's I think...
Sorry, but you're like the biggest Josh Tracy man there is. Sorry.
Yeah, I am.
No, you're not coming over. There's no boats. There's no ferries. There's shut down.
There's a different role.
We're shut down the island. Huh?
There's a different role. The Howdies are out there, aren't they?
Yeah.
What was I saying? With Sweater, I think Sweater's been given a chop out by Champion Data, calling him elite at the start of 2022.
I can't stand that word either.
I can't either. It's a stupid term. Like,
how overused is it in a football sense?
That's right.
If you say something, someone is elite, it makes it sound like you know what you're talking about.
It's meaningless. It's absolutely meaningless. But this is that's their highest category, right? So they labelled Sweater elite on what? I'm not sure. But that same season, Champion Data's assessments gave... David Mundy and Luke Ryan only as above average. So I reckon he's been given a little bit of a chop out. I think Sweater's under a little bit of pressure going into this year. Because if he doesn't replace the role of Schultze or, you know, contribute in a substantial manner or can't get on the park, I mean, he's done a hammy again. I think he's under a little bit of pressure, Jojo. And I like Sweater. I like Sweater. I like what he does. But I can see you can't keep going with someone that can't get on the park. And then if he does get on the park and he can't take over Schulte's role, where do we go with him?
I don't 100% agree with you, I've got to be honest. I think he's going to get an enormous amount of rope this year. And I think due to the fact that Schulte was an unexpected departure... Like the kind of player that he is and the differing roles they can get him to play in his area of the ground, I just think that he'll get every single opportunity. And maybe if he doesn't perform, he'll still continue to get opportunities. But in the same breath, I think the draftee with the greatest opportunity to play would probably be Jack DeLean for the same reason in that, you know, we lost Schultz when we didn't expect to, and we're quite thin in that area of the ground.
Yep.
I mean, you know, you're looking at, you know, in my ideal forward setup at the moment, I've got Tommy Emmett, Tabs, Switkowski, Jackson, Amos, Walters, and then a rotation of Frederick. So those seven guys. Yep. But then outside of that, then you're looking at a Bailey Banfield. I left out Sam Sturt.
Tommy Emmett?
No, Tommy Emmett I had there.
Oh, you had him, yeah. Okay.
But it's like Sturt, Banfield, DeLean, probably leaving someone out. But
to have Tommy Emmett in your best 22, that's pretty tough.
Why?
Because we're going on two games.
That's enough. It's fine. He's very good in those two games.
He was very, very good, but it's too much pressure or expectations on a kid.
Oh, it's not expectations, but he deserves to continue to hold his spot after the way he played.
You're expecting him to perform in your best 22. 23.
Well, he was at the end of last year. Why can't he keep doing it?
No, he might, but I'm just saying it's a big call to expect him to continue.
Yeah, exactly. So if he can't, then like Sturt will come in. Like Sturt's pretty unlucky to lose his spot in my team, to be honest. Like, that's like one of the hardest cuts that I had to make. And think about how on team balance, who would you rather in there?
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. That's but look, it's got to be the summer of Sam.
Josh Tracy as well. He doesn't make my team.
Yeah, now that one, because you're bringing in Tabs.
Yeah, definitely bringing in Tabs. And that's not a knock on JT. That's to help out Amos, to be honest. It's more than anything.
Do you know what? This is why I was coming around to the... I wasn't initially. I was, let's not wreck what we're building. But Joy Amos is going to get a lot of heat this year. The opposition's going to do a ton of homework on him. They're going to try and defend him really, really hardly. Really, really tough. I'm with you. I think he needs a bit of help. And I think if
Tad... No offence to JT, but Jai Amos is 10 times more important to the team's future and success than Josh Tracy is, unfortunately, for him.
Yep. Absolutely. I'll agree.
Jai Amos is a diamond.
Absolutely.
He's a special asset, a special player that we've got.
So he needs some protection.
Well, having an experienced body, if Tabs is fit and rolling, you think about you turn up to the ground on game day. If you're going to send your biggest, strongest defender to Jai Amos, which would almost be the want at this point, given the way he performed last year, and you're going to let Tabs roll around, and a lot of people have got different opinions on him, but if you're going to let him roll around on someone who's your second best defender, maybe doesn't have the physicality of your best tall back,
yep.
I reckon he's a good chance to rip him to pieces. Like, he's a big, strong guy. He's experienced. He can run. When he's up and rolling, and I know it's only been for limited periods of time, but you got to remember as well, like, when he's in that forward line over the last few years, he's been pretty much the only guy down there. We didn't have a Luke Jackson. We didn't have a Jai Amos. We didn't have even a Josh Tracy to help him out. Like, there's been no one.
He was playing injured as well most of the time. So
yeah, it's a bit different when you've got defenders having to focus on other guys in the forward 50.
Yep.
Like, our forward 50 has been incredibly thin, especially since Tabs has come into the side after Matt Pavlich retired and all this kind of transition happened.
Yeah.
Like, we haven't had Rory Lobb. Like,
yeah.
Sure, you'd send someone to Rory Lobb, but you don't roll up to the game and think, oh, Rory's going to rip us apart.
Yeah.
Like, we need to put our biggest, toughest guy on Rory Lobb in the forward line.
Yeah.
I don't know. No. I just think Tabs offers something at this point that maybe JT hasn't quite got to, and it will force him into going back and getting better.
Yep.
But I think our best tall forward setup is Tabs, Amos, and Jackson. And I think Switter, Emmett, Sonny Walters in the twilight of his career, having these big tall guys could really push his career out a little bit as well. It gives him plenty of ability to do what he's good at.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I'm coming around. I'm slowly coming around.
Switkowski, I think, with his pace, he's got that little bit of, for want of a term that I can't think of at the moment, X factor, which I also don't like saying. But he does have a bit of that. Like, he can do stuff. And we don't have a ton of those guys on the list at the moment.
No, but it's got to be the summer of Sam, JoJo. This preseason's the summer of Sam. Has to be. It's a good movie, though.
Have you got a little box next to that term? Have you got Have you got notes in front of you?
Yeah, got notes. Keep saying
Does it say Summer of Sam and then a little checkbox to the right-hand side and then you just put a little tick in it?
Ticking it? I've said it 8 times. It's a movie. It's a movie, Jodo. No one's seen it.
It's a movie.
No one's going to know it. Yeah. So, I've got ahead of myself. we're very similar with our best 23.
Your Summer of Sam movies are 6 out of 10 on IMDb, you know. I don't think anyone's seen it. It's a Spike Lee movie.
Yeah, I watched it. It was horrendous. I watched it.
But it fits the
narrative.
Fits
the narrative. Okay.
I reckon it's harsh. Sorry, I reckon thinking about it, it's a bit harsh on him.
No, it's not. It's not.
Why is like a half forward flanker?
Hang on. But it's not only... How long can, like we always say, like how long do you carry? Can you carry guys that can't get on the park?
You want to delist him?
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying 2024. I think he's got to stand up. He's got to stand up.
Yeah, but so does everyone.
No. I mean, if a Matt Johnson, you know, couldn't get on the park, or Caleb Sarong, or this would have been on the list 6 years, Jota. He's 27 years of age, 27 and a half. I'm just saying, this is a pivotal year for the Summer of Sam. Mm-hmm. Tick the box. It's a pivotal year for Sweater. I hope he does, because we do like what he does. I just don't know whether he's can do it as often as we need him to. And I don't know if he can pick up that amount of slack that from Schulte. Who's going to do that really hard stuff?
Yeah.
Sweater's got to do it. I don't know whether he's got that in him. And that's not a criticism of him.
I'm, to be honest, looking forward to seeing how midfield improves off the back of last year, because they were disappointing. But I think the thing I'm looking forward to seeing come our first practice match in round one is we spoke a lot about Schulte, the energy he brings, the intensity he brought each game, and how important it was to get his teammates into it.
Yep.
Someone's going to have to step up and do it, and it'll be interesting to see who it is, because someone will do it.
Could be
someone will do it. Yeah. But just how it works, because that front half pressure, when we're playing our best
it's everything.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
And he was a big part of it. So
huge.
Yeah. Hey, that'll be the thing that we're watching. Like, who's bringing that?
Do you want to throw out another term that we hate?
No.
He's the barometer. Schulte was the barometer. So no, I'm with you. I think someone has to stand up and do that. So, could Sweater do that?
I'd hope that we'd progress to a point where we're not reliant on one person bringing the energy and effort to lift everyone else up, that everyone just turns up with that mindset.
You would hope so, yeah. Fair call.
But it'd be really interesting to see how they come out of the blocks to start 2024. You'd feel like, if I was JL and I'm coaching that team and we finish off the 2023 season, I'm sitting there having a glass of red, reflecting on what's just happened.
Mm.
You'd be thinking, like, we just can't do that again. You know, you'd think back to the first few rounds where we blew games against teams like North. We're just not doing that again.
No, that's right. And that,
so that has to be a focus coming in.
It does. And that's, again, like we're talking about, you know, the improvement, you know, Brayshaw, but it's a mindset as well. And we're going to get improvement out of that mindset. And the other fact is that despite Mrs. Corbett trying to destroy our fitness, we've come back in better shape than we did last year.
With the big box of melting moments.
What is she doing? There's a mountain of them.
He's not playing. He's all right. He can go for his life.
Maria Corbett. Oh, I hope it's his one. Might be his missus. I'm not sure. But she JL's sitting there going, we've got to come back in great form, in great nick and condition and all this. And she rocks in with two big boxes of these biscuits, these cream. They look like they put bloody calories on you by looking at them. But we are in better nick. I'm joking around there. But we are in better nick. So what was Bob saying? Tickets in the barrel?
Yeah.
Better condition, tickets in the barrel. A better mindset, tickets in the barrel. So there's enough there that all add up to a big improvement this year.
Yeah. You sent this thing to me. I didn't watch it at the time, but the Jordan Clark being marked up at the photo day.
Oh, it's pretty good, wasn't it?
You don't usually like the contrived media spots, but I don't know. You seem to think this was pretty funny.
No, because I like Jordan Clark. I reckon he'd be, as I've said to you all along, we've got to get Jordan Clark on the pod. He'd be a ripper. Probably won't get him, but I reckon I love that kind of stuff where you're stitching people up, which he was trying to do. Did a fair job. There were a couple of good ones, but he missed the mark a bit. But I like that. I like that kind of stuff. And it had to be contrived. He was mic'd up. Everybody knew it. Well, no, not everyone.
So he did do a pretty good job of making it sound relatively kind of spontaneous.
Yeah, didn't he? Because you kind of think that's how he would be all the time around the club.
And the targeting of Erasmus, like pumping up the biceps before the photo and then hanging shit on him for... Oh, sorry.
Omelettes.
For the eggs and milk.
Omelettes or Erasmus.
That's not bad.
That was good, wasn't it? He's stealing stealing eggs and milk from the club, doing his shopping. Fife actually believed it. He said, no, he didn't. Oh, that's good. I tell you what, Joe, I'm just going to go back. I was going, Switter was my man that I just feel is not under pressure, but he's got to deliver this year.
Hmm.
Who's your man that might be under a bit of pressure this year?
Under pressure this year. Hmm. I did have an opinion when we spoke about this when we were going to record a podcast a while ago. But I'm going to come up with something fresh, and it could be the same person. But, okay, so my person who I think is a little bit under pressure this year is Alex Pearce.
Alex, the captain. You're going hard at him again.
I'm not going hard at him. I'm just like, you're saying who's under pressure. I think that
I'm saying who do you think under pressure?
Because his performances weren't quite there last year.
That's right.
And I think once we've got our forward line and midfield set, you look to the next area. And they've invested a lot of capital in midfield and forward.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like we've got the draft picks to continue to invest in the forward line. So you think, okay, what's the next area of the ground that wants improvement? And then you probably turn straight back to the back line, don't you? And I think a tall back who he's had problem with distribution. He had a few problems defensively in a few assignments last year, although he kind of came good at the end of the year. Mm. I think that he needs a good year.
What if he has a year like last year? What happens?
I think it's possible. I think the year he had last year is like fine, but he's better than that. And I think once
the year he had last year was, and I'm an Alex Pearce fan, but the year he had last year, like many others, contributed to the year we had.
Yeah, no, he did. He had some poor games, but I think towards the end of the game, end of the year, he kind of shook it off.
He did.
I think he improved as the year went on. Right. No, I don't think you'd hang him on last year, but I just think that if he's going to produce that same sort of year, he'll possibly put himself under pressure because he wasn't at his best.
And what's under pressure? What are you saying is under pressure? What's the result of?
Are you saying person who's most under pressure? So I just picked.
But what results from if he doesn't perform when he's under pressure?
Well, I think this will likely be the last year he's captain for a start.
Right. So lose the captaincy.
Well, I think he's going to lose the captaincy and this year, no matter what happens. I think either Sarong or Brayshaw will take it over.
Yep.
Is that an outrageous statement?
No. I think this is his final year as captain as well. So,
and I think he's done really well to like kind of hand over between the Fife period and the next generation.
Hmm.
But I think once your captaincy is kind of relinquished and
your
rank and file, your performance is evaluated strictly on your performance, not so much of the kind of extracurriculars that you bring to the table. And I think he'd want to improve his performance off the back of this year. I don't think you'd want to bring the same.
I think he even
admitted it himself that at times he found, like even differing to previous years when he'd taken on a leadership role, he found it distracting at times this year.
This is another ticket in the barrel. Because he's a much better player than he showed, than he put.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, than he did last year.
I agree. Yeah.
So there's huge improvement there, is possible improvement back to his best. Just more tickets in the barrel. $4.50, Jojo. That might be $8.
Well, what do you think? Is that an outrageous comment to say that he'd be under a little bit of pressure?
I just know your disrespect towards the elder players in the team. I was just wondering where you were going with it.
It's funny you should say that because it's coming to the point where a lot of those guys are going to reach a time where they're going to have to justify their selection.
Such as?
Like, everyone, as they get older, like, we've invested so much. Like, we've traded out and we've traded forward to trying to get these high picks in the draft. And we've got all these guys coming through. And we've already spoken about how possibly Erasmus might struggle for a stable role through the midfield.
Yep.
You know, we've got Port's first next year. We've got Collingwood's first next year. We've got our own first next year. Like, we've got a lot of capital in the bank to either trade in more young players. You wouldn't think they'd use them to trade in like mature players that somewhere like towards the end of their career. It's going to be more young players. So it's pretty obvious where the focus of this club is. Like the heat's on. If you're reaching the kind of back end of your prime, you need to continue to deliver every year. Otherwise, I feel like your number could be up and they'll look to recruit over the top of you. Doesn't that make sense?
It's the nature of the beast, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, but I mean, at the same time, like Erasmus has to perform.
Well, they still have to do it, of course. Yeah, yeah they all still have to do it.
They've all got it in their stripes. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I just thought I would bring that up because I just thought, you know, the disrespect you've shown to.
It's not disrespect.
It is. It is David
Mundy. You've got to pick someone.
Sonny Walters, Fife, and now you've moved on to Alex Pearce. So, okay, that's fair.
You're bringing up Sonny Walters from like a zillion years ago.
Put that on the record. Well, it's on the record. That's who you've gone after.
And to be honest, like my Fife one's still fair. He's just not under pressure anymore because no one expects anything from him.
No, you're out of control. He's back.
He might be back, he's not under any pressure to do anything because he hasn't played for the best part of two or three seasons in any meaningful way.
Yeah.
Like, no one expects anything of him, so he's not under any pressure. Whatever we get from him at this point is a bonus.
No, more tickets in the barrel. He's back. my man Andy Broach said, we had no hesitation emphatically stating Fife is back in one of his interviews. Said that, word for word. Fife is back.
Yeah, good for that. Good for him. But, like, he hasn't been able to stay on the field.
Yeah. What are you saying?
Well, it's a big part of playing in the AFL is like actually being in the selected 23 because you're not injured.
So but Switter hasn't been able to stay on the field.
Didn't he play every game last year?
Except one. no, he's back, Jota. He's back setting the track alight, training the house, all those, making every metaphorical poster winner using all those cliches. No, wouldn't it be great?
It is quite exciting, though. I've got to admit, like, now that cricket's kind of wound up, it is kind of exciting that footy's not too far from being around the corner.
I agree. I'm looking forward to it. And the other guy's Amira. Amira's going to have a better year this year than he did last year, I believe.
Well, I think you could almost safely say that about the entire squad, except for Caleb Sarong. No one really would sit down.
Maybe Jai
Emerson and Caleb Sarong would be sitting at one table.
Yep.
And maybe Luke Jackson.
Yeah, yep.
But just about every other player on the list would be thinking, maybe I could have done a touch better last year.
Yeah, that's right. So,
no one had a year they'd want to bottle and just wheel this out time after time after time.
No, that's right. So, but when you go through and you break it all down, you look into it, there's plenty there. There's plenty there to suggest that we're in for a pretty exciting year. And by exciting, I mean making the finals. I don't think we can win the premiership. I really don't. I'd love to be proven wrong, but I honestly don't think we can. I don't think we're there yet. But if we land anywhere from 6th to 8th, I'd be thrilled. I'll be thrilled.
Well, I think that the test we'll get first up is going to be great. Well, I think the first game we play is Brisbane at home.
That's right.
Before we travel to play North, and then we play Adelaide back at home. So you think out of those three games, like the Adelaide game, although they're improving, you'd hope that the blip we had last year, we'd resurface to kind of overtake them again.
Yeah.
The game against Brisbane will be really interesting.
The game against Brisbane is the reason why we're $4.50 to make the 8. Because if we win that game, the odds get slashed right in. If we lose that game, it's a home game, we lose it, the odds go out. So it's a pivotal game, take the gambling out of it, but it's a pivotal game to show where we are, where we really are. Because if we knock Brisbane off at home in that round one, that sets the whole season up. I know it sounds ridiculous, but it really does. Because you've knocked off the grand finalist of last year, you know, on your home deck. They're getting better at travelling. Brisbane are improving their travelling record.
Well, so, I was going to say, we've got a decent record against them here. I think we've won one out of the last two. And the one that we lost, we got done by, three or four points at the end of last season. So
that's right.
It's not like they got the wood over us here.
No. But it's going to be a really, really enticing game. I'm really keen to get to that, to get to round one, because it's going to paint a picture, I think. And it could, I mean, imagine you after the year we had last year, you come out round one, you beat the grand finalist of last year on your home deck.
Yeah. Then you roll into North Melbourne, then you roll into Adelaide.
And they're all, suddenly we're all getting around with watermelons under our arms. You know, like.
Yeah. And then you got Carlton in Adelaide.
Yep. So it's it really is a pivotal game, and God, if we knock that off, look out. So,
it'd be an interesting start to this season, won't it? With round zero.
Oh, so stupid!
It's an incredible innovation by the AFL.
Can you actually believe that? What do we go through? And I'm talking from a fantasy football league competition. How many bye rounds are there this year? There's a ton of them that are.
I don't know. I've got no idea how it works.
It's going to be terrible.
There's round zero, and we go up to round 24.
Oh, God's sake. As someone who tries to draft to cater for the bye rounds, you're making it very hard, AFL. Not going to be able to do it this year, Jojo.
Is this the beginning of the season? Are we back every week now?
Oh, I can't see why not. Where were you? I was here 2 weeks ago. I was waiting 2 weeks ago for you.
And we've got. Look, it's been a busy off season. Been busy arguing with Chloe, trying to get work back on track.
But then
gets in the way a lot of this stuff.
Mate, you had. What are we going to do one before the year was out? And then you had laryngitis and.
It was laryngitis. Laryngitis.
Meningitis. You got arthritis.
That's what happens when you have when you have a 5-year-old kid. You get sick with just about every illness that you can look up in some kind of doctor's book.
I'll walk it off.
I've had strep. I've had staph. You get it all. Jeez,
tell you what,
life's not easy. I'll give you the hot tip.
What about Joel Hamlin, Jojo?
What about him?
There's this sense of entitlement that's creeped into society today. He's on the list for 7 years, Joel Hamlin. I was a Joel Hamlin fan, and the way he left the club and that. Right, on the list for 7 years. The last 4 years, we got 6 games out of him. Right, who are you taking out of our defensive unit to put Joel in? You know, we let Griffin Lowe go, you know, because he couldn't get, depending on our matchups, he couldn't get a gig. And I'm playing Griff before I'm playing Joel. So when he left, he was absolutely full of gratitude for Freo. Now he gets over there and immerses himself in that snot-nosed Sydney Swan, I don't know what you call it, superiority sect. All of a sudden he feels disrespected. And then it was disrespectful that what we did to him. And you know what makes matters worse? What makes that matter worse? He's going to be great for the Swans. And he might even play in a premiership this year. And we'll have to cop the... Oh, another trade mistake. Another mistake we made.
I don't think so. Because you think about mistakes that are made through trade or not offering contracts or whatever. They're guys that would have played in your team, but he's... I don't know. Depending on your... You're either... If that's the case where you think Hamling's a starter, then you're dropping Pierce. And
that's
he's
right.
Your captain.
That's right. So, that's what I'm saying. We didn't make the mistake. Okay, we probably lowballed him or whatever, but it wasn't... As if he was going to be a walk-up start. So,
yeah.
It's back to
that same argument, isn't it? And this happened all through trade week, saying, and I was about to click the stop button on the record, but you know, saying that we're losing all these experienced players because we're refusing to pay them when we're lowballing them and this, that, and the other. It's like that's probably true, but I mean, it's not. Why do you want to overpay these guys?
Exactly.
We're not working on our best 30 to 40 players on the list. We're working on attaining our best 15 to 16 players on the list at this point.
Yep.
And we've got no business overpaying guys that are in that range. Nope. And I know Akers would probably have still played, definitely have still played last year, but they didn't have to go out and pay him the most money you get from anywhere. And if he got a better offer at Carlton, good for him.
Yep.
I don't think there's any hard feelings from anyone.
No.
Same with Rory Lobb. Rory Lobb's situation now is a joke. It literally is. We're all the fuss about losing these guys.
Yep.
It looks like Rory Lobb's going to be... If English is... The only time he's going to be playing is if English is injured.
There's no swap for him. And we
Sam Darcy's outplayed him up forward, and then you've got Ugelhagen and Norton. So, English in the ruck. I'm sorry, Rory, unless like you're doing the Zach Clark wing thing again, like it's not going to happen.
No. 2 years ago, Joe, when it might have been three years ago when there was talk the Bulldogs were interested. I remember we sat here and we're going, why? Why would they be interested? I remember saying it back then. There's just no room for him there.
Yeah. Well, do you want to be the club that's got a guy that's getting, what is he going to get? Like 600, 650, and he's playing waffle footy for us?
Yep.
Like, what a waste of time. Yeah, what a waste of money.
Yep.
And no offense to the player. Like, it's not not for them individually or anything personally, but from a club standpoint, people talk about us wasting money, $2 million on ruckman.
Yep.
Well, how much of a waste of money would it be playing a backup ruckman and part-time forward?
Yep.
Like over, you know, $750,000 to play at Peel.
That's right. That's exactly right. It's weird, isn't it? So, but yeah, so
I think we've made really good decisions. I think the guys that we've lost and, you know, that's got spoken about ad nauseum during that trade week.
Yep.
Like they're completely losable. Like it obviously get worse in the short term, but they're not a long-term solution anyway. So
no, that's right.
In reality. And this kind of goes to Schultzy as well. Like I was sad to lose Schultzy.
Yep.
But I think as much as people don't want to hear it and won't agree with it, and that's fine, I think he's replaceable.
He's replaceable, yeah. No, not too many, probably apart from your top five or six players, everybody's replaceable. You know, like maybe a few more. But, yeah, I'm with you. They're not, you know, you're not losing a Gary Ablett or, you know, or Dustin Martin or someone like that. So everybody at that level, under that level, is replaceable. And the minute you start thinking you're irreplaceable, you're in strife. So
I would love to have Griff here. Like, I would love to have Griff here, and you know,
so would I.
The talk about, you know, he would have taken less money at the start of the year to re-sign. Hmm. It's like that's fine, but I mean, what is less money? And is less money too much to have a guy that's possibly not going to be in your best 23 and playing at Peel? Is that too much money? What you're going to pay him to sit and play twos and be a backup?
That's a good point. You don't have to mention figures when you say less money. So, so you're dead right. It could have been still overs for the game time he was going to get. So, yeah, it's there's a lot that we don't take into account, isn't there? I'm not us, but we don't take those things into account when we write these headlines and stories and whatever else.
I don't know. You're just a guy watching your footy team, giving your thoughts.
That's right. Joel Hamlin, Joel Hamlin.
Whatever. Like, it's not a big deal.
Is it is it beer worthy?
No.
It's not beer worthy?
No. I came up with my beer idea. People have been asking for the next beer.
Oh, really?
But I'm not sure. It's a bit lame to just go back to the well and do another beer.
I know.
But
I don't really want to do that. But I'm just.
No, neither.
But I love my gimmick.
I'm conflicted. You said it was inappropriate, but I was thinking of like a Joffa. Kind of gold sequin style.
No, you can't do that. I'm not being a part of that one bit. You know what he should have gone to jail for that he didn't go to jail for, Jojo?
Wearing that gold jacket?
Yeah, you should have gone to jail for that. Fashion police. I'm not anything to do with Joffa. Good luck, you're on your own. Do your best.
Yeah. No, I think we could come up with something for Schultzy, but I don't think it can be a beer. It needs another product.
Yeah, no, it can't be a beer. We've got to come up with it. Something better than that. Well, not better, but something different that fits right. It's got to hit the mark, doesn't it? It's got to be the right angle. Like, the beer was just perfect for Rory Lobb. So we've got to come up with something else. It was.
Lightning can't strike twice.
Is there enough people that dislike Schultzy?
I don't dislike Schultzy.
Well, no, but... Yeah, but you got to turn it. You got to work on it. We got to work on it.
You think about the Rory Lobb thing. It's not even like people particularly disliked him. Like, you might think you disliked him.
No, it was the throwing the grenades out the door.
It was more of a kind of joke at the situation. And like, how is this guy serious? This guy can't be serious with him thinking this about himself or whatever. Yeah. Like, that's where the interest was from.
So maybe we never get that opportunity again because it's such a
rare.
That was such a rare thing.
It is rare, isn't it?
Jeez. Is it all over for us?
Yeah, it is.
Downhill.
Anyway, I've had enough. I'm going to go to bed.
Me too.
Until next week when we're trying to... Hopefully nothing happens, but something happens.
If that you want something to happen. Someone flip a car. You want something to do.
Geordie Clark will flip a car.
Yeah, that'll be good. You reckon we can get him on the pod?
I do have someone to come on the pod. You didn't even know he played for Freo, though.
That's not true.
Who? No, you didn't. You said, who's that?
Oh, yeah. But, yeah, that's true.
No disrespect to Ryan Murphy, because you did remember him after a little minute. He's Pick 12. He's installing Sonny's basketball court in our front yard.
Oh, your basketball court. Have you gone and done that?
Almost.
You're taking that tree out.
We've taken the tree out, taken the stump out, paid the 50% deposit.
100-year tree, you just ripped out. The tree's been there for 100 years. You've lowered the value of the neighborhood. You're an environmental vandal.
Well, tell you what, we do have some inflationary pressures in the economy at the moment, and the place over the road, which, to be honest, was not the nicest until some guy come and did a really quick cosmetic renovation, just sold for $1.3 million. So, I think we could do with a bit of a reduction of the cost of the real estate in this area. So, I've done my bit.
Your place will still go for about $8
million. No, but... No, custom courts. That's his business.
Custom courts?
Yeah.
Is there some sort of sponsorship deal here that I'm not aware of? Are they coming on board?
We got any sponsors? I don't think so. We don't have any sponsors.
We still haven't got any. What are we doing?
No, we're going to ramp it up.
Are we?
Yeah.
Pretty sure we said that last year.
I'm going to do that now. I'm going to sign off and do that now.
Awesome.
Until next week, are you still done with the restump?
Absolutely I am. Because unlike some fans, I'm not throwing the baby in the bathwater out the premiership window.
Start wearing purple. Start wearing purple for me now. All your sanity and wits, they will all vanish. I promise. It's just a matter of time. So yeah.